Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the March 11th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll begin with the first page stories. Tuscola City Council, seeking help to raise dilapidated buildings by David Porter. The Tuscola City Council is considering turning over its dilapidated buildings problem to the Central Land Bank Authority, the CLBA. The grant-based organization has taken over 100 projects in 8 counties. The CLBA would take over the responsibility of acquiring dilapidated properties through the court system and then would sell the vacant properties with input from the city. The city often loses money by taking such properties, raising the buildings, and selling the lots. The CLBA would keep any income from the sales, but there would be no cost to the city, Drew Hole, city administrator, said on Monday night. Hole said the city is in a tight deadline to meet the grant cycle for the CLBA. The council would need to pass an agreement with the CLBA at its next meeting in order to join the program for the current term. Hole added that the CLBA makes up its losses through the Illinois Housing Development Authority. He added that this is what they do, so they're well-versed with the process. The council voted Monday night to increase the number of liquor licenses from 15 to 20. Mayor Dan Kleiss said he knows of 2 people wanting to start businesses in Tuscola and will need a liquor license. He said one of them is a restaurant, but he's unsure of the other's intent. The council also voted to spend $36,000 with Midwest Custom Fencing, LLC, for a new fence around the East Ballpark Diamond in Irvin Park. The council waived the formal bidding process. The council approved an ordinance to allow transfers of appropriation within the city's general and sewer funds. The committee meetings for budget preparation were set March 24th, 30th, and April 2nd, and a list of temporary summer employees was approved. Summer employees are Heidi McFarland and Kate Moody, pool managers, $21 per hour. Brogan Rennert, assistant manager, $18 per hour. Reese Davis and Ava Simpson, lead lifeguards, $16.50 an hour. Certified lifeguards, Boyd Brewer, Kinsey Cleland, Isabella Ducker, Jocelyn Ford, Taylor Gordon, McKenna Lassine, Jays Mentock, Ethan Neese, Ainsley Rennert, Emma Thompson, Andrew Spillman, Emma Spillman, Ava Whitson, and Isabella Wishard, $16 an hour, and new guards if certified, Sawyer Beachy, Hayden Smith, Grace Walker, and Bo Whitson, $15.50 an hour. In the consent agenda, the council approved the purchase of hydrant isolation valves at a cost of $14,000 to MB Construction, as previously reported, and the payment of $14,000 to AKRA Builders for pool house renovation. Also approved were Washington Street closure June 27th for the Warrior Pub for a car show, a fishing derby July 11th at Wimple Park for Prairielands Council Cub Scouts, and a Sale Street closure September 18th through 19th for the Tuscola Oddfellows. Hole also reported that the Tourism Board is planning another mural project downtown in May. He said the staff will likely bring an agreement form for the property owners to the council at the next meeting. The next article is the Arcola City Council, Set New Priorities for Community by David Porter. The Arcola City Council held its third and last long-range planning meeting Monday night and focused on a new list of priorities. For Moore Park, priorities included adding a flagpole, building a walking path, applying for another state grant, a sensory playground, new LED lighting, and acquiring more space. For downtown, priorities include promoting an incentive program, investing in compliance tools, an entrepreneurship program, and marketing. Other priorities include paving addition, brick streets, including West Main and Jefferson, replacing sidewalks and streetlights, and marketing the area around the interstate ramp, as well as housing development. Council member Stephanie Helmuth said the training sessions were helpful in understanding the role of the council and the roles of others play within the city. Alderman Jack Osborne said the focus on teamwork stood out to him. Alderman Gilberto Moreno said he was interested to learn more how the powers of social media is drawing attention to Arcola throughout the state and beyond. Jim Arndt, who led the last 2 sessions, said Arcola is doing amazing things and it is getting noticed. He said he's had calls from Chicago area city managers wanting to learn more about what Arcola is doing so they can replicate it in their communities. In the next article, Arthur's Village Board approved purchases for police department by Ariana Cherry. The Arthur Village Board approved several purchases for the police department that were aimed at improving their equipment during their March 2nd meeting. The first item was the purchase of 4 refurbished mobile radar units from Municipal Electronics for a total of $4,400. The radar units will be installed in patrol cars and will allow officers to monitor vehicle speeds, both while stationary and moving. Chief Elliot Tinden said the equipment will give officers another tool to address speeding concerns in areas where residents have raised complaints. The board also approved entering into a 10-year agreement with Axon to purchase 6 new TASER 10 devices for the department. The agreement includes an initial $10,000 payment followed by annual payments of $7,800 for the remaining 9 years. Village officials noted that the initial payment will come from this year's police equipment budget. The down payment helps reduce the annual cost over the remainder of the contract. The board also approved a 7-year agreement with Motorola to purchase 6 new N70 portable radios for the department. The radios will cost $7,800 per year after the initial $10,000 payment in the first year. The radios will replace aging equipment currently used by officers and are expected to improve communications reliability in the field. During the discussion, trustees also noted that the village receives approximately $15,000 annually from gaming machines, and some of that revenue could help offset future police department equipment costs. Firework parking discussed during public comment. During public comment, Arthur Rotary Club member John Stewart addressed the board regarding planning for this year's fireworks celebration. Stewart noted that parking may be more limited than in previous years because the school parking lot will not be available while demolition work is underway. He said organizers are currently looking for alternative parking options for attendees. Board members discussed possible solutions, including the potential use of the CHI facility as an additional parking lot location. Stewart thanked the village for its continued cooperation in helping coordinate the annual event. He also stated that Captain Rat and the Blind Rivets are scheduled to return to perform during the festivities. Village updates and reports. The board reviewed expenses totaling $61,000. Village officials also discussed several ongoing grant efforts. Applications have been submitted for sidewalk improvements in the Meadowview area, particularly near the school. Office officials are also pursuing a grant that would fund new signage near the public the barbershop. Public Works Director Grant Corum is expected to present updated capital improvement plan, CIP, information at a future meeting. Corum has indicated that additional engineering projects may be considered for inclusion in the village's long-term planning and budget. Corum is also scheduled to meet with Andy from Farnsworth Group, one of the village's engineering consultants, as part of these ongoing infrastructure discussions. Police Chief Tinnan also shared an update on officer training. Officer Leo, who's currently attending the police academy, is approximately halfway through the program and maintaining a mid-B average, according to the chief. The next article, ALAH High School presents Footloose. Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond High School Drama Club will present the musical Footloose this weekend in the East Gym of the high school. Show dates are Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 15th, starting at 2 p.m. Faith Run, Spanish teacher at ALAH, is the director of the student director is Ashby Koblenz. A summary from Concord Theatricals, the licensing company, reads as follows. When Ren and his mother move from Chicago to a small farming town, he's prepared for the inevitable adjustment period at his new high school, but he's not prepared for the rigorous local edicts, including a ban on dancing instituted by the local preacher, who is determined to exercise control over the town's youth. When the Reverend's rebellious daughter sets her sights on Ren, her roughneck boyfriend tries to sabotage Ren's reputation, with many of the locals eager to believe the worst about the new kid. The heartfelt story that emerges pins a father longing for the son he lost against a young man aching for the father who walked out on him. To the rock and rhythm of Oscar and Tony-nominated Top 40 score, augmented with the dynamic new songs, Footloose celebrates the wisdom of listening to young people while guiding them with a warm heart and an open mind. Main cast members are Ren McCormack, played by Cash Hale, Ariel Moore, played by Jorge Lebetter, Reverend Shaw Moore, played by Denton Marner, Vi Moore, played by Ann Rollins, Rusty, played by Chloe Custer, Willard Hewick, played by Grayson Yoder, and Ethel McCormick, played by Samantha Fowler. Additional casts include Kaylee Hirschberger, Abigail Miller, Cooper Gibbs, Jaden Edwards, Ben Stutzman, Lucas Coulter, Ashby Koblenz, Emily Cagle, Abigail Johnson, Randy Tedrick, Abby Durbin, Cassidy Rohax, Embry Reardon, Ryan Wythera, Claire Sass, Sierra Peeler, and Javen Bates. Main crew members are student director Ashby Koblenz, senior stage manager Chloe Custer, stage manager Zeb Peck, house manager Esmeralda Diaz, props lead Jada Bontrager, lights and sound lead Stephen Harris, costumes lead Brooke Ellen Peeler, hair and makeup lead Kaylee Hirschberger, marketing lead Anna Rollins, and set lead Carolyn Van Osdell. Other crew members include Keely Simpson, Chloe Smith, Kai Stanbach, Leanna Palma, Ava Moody, Layla Sanchez, Alyssa Richards, Annabelle Van Osdell, Emily Waldrop, Jacob Ayer, Riley Ward, Caitlin Jacobs, and Wyatt Brinkley. The show is recommended for audience members 12 years and older. We'll move now to the obituary. William Glenn McDaniel, 72, of Bethany, died at 2:43 a.m. Wednesday, March 4, 2026, at his residence, surrounded by his family. Funeral services were Monday, March 9th, at the Schrader Funeral Home in Arthur, with Pastor Ron Emmel officiating. Barrow was in the Marrowbone Township Cemetery in Bethany. Visitation was held Sunday at the funeral home. The next article, Lakeland College to increase tuition. Lakeland College is set to increase its tuition and fees rates by 3.25% for the 2026-27 academic year, pending approval by the Board of Trustees during the regular March meeting on Monday, March 9th. Under the new rates, in-district tuition will increase by $5 per credit hour, while per credit hour fees will remain unchanged, bringing the total per credit hour cost to $159. For all in-district students taking a standard full-time course load of 30 credit hours in the 2026-2027 academic year, the total tuition fee cost will be $4,770, an increase of $150 over the previous year. The new tuition rate preserves Lakeland's status as one of Illinois' most affordable colleges. Among fellow Illinois community colleges, Lakeland ranked in the lowest 25% in terms of cost for the 2025-26 school year, when average statewide tuition fees reached $4,900. Meanwhile, the average 2025-2026 tuition for Illinois public universities was $16,000, making Lakeland a top destination for students interested in a high-quality education at a fraction of the university price. The new tuition rate will take effect with the summer 2026 semester and continue through fall 2026 and spring 2027 terms. The next article, Rose appointed to Senate Republican leadership team. Senator Rose, Republican of Mahomet, has been appointed to the Illinois State Republican leadership team, a move that recognizes his longstanding role as the Senate Republican caucus's lead budget negotiator and a key voice on fiscal policy, where he worked to expose Chicago Democrats' irresponsible budgets. "I'm honored to join the Senate Republican leadership team," said Rose. "In this new role, I'll be in an even stronger position to continue fighting for the families and communities of the 51st Senate District." Senate Republican leader John Curran said Rose's appointment reflects the work he's been doing on behalf of the caucus. "Chapin has been our lead budget negotiator and a steady, principled voice during some of the most challenging fiscal discussions facing our state," said Leader Curran. "Having him serve on the leadership team simply formalizes the role he's already been taking. His experience, work ethic, and deep understanding of the budget process make him a natural fit. Rose represents the 51st Senate District and has been a leading advocate for taxpayers, job creators, and families across central Illinois," his office stated in a press release. The next article, Real Life Wellness by Dr. Bill Hemmer, Your First 30 Days on the Wild Root Health Path, a Practical Roadmap. Big health changes can feel overwhelming. That's why Wild Root Health Approach starts with a clear, realistic, 30-day roadmap. You don't have to fix everything at once, you just must begin. Week 1, know where you're starting. Before you can make meaningful changes, you need a baseline. This week is about information, not perfection. Schedule a visit with a Wild Root Aligned provider or functional medicine practitioner. Review your health history, current medications, and main concerns. If appropriate, discuss using a health savings account and ask about a letter of medical necessity. Set up your HealthBook Plus account and connect any wearable devices you already use. Jot down a few simple observations each day: energy levels, sleep quality, digestion, and mood. You're not judging, you're just noticing. Week 2, one simple food shift. Now we begin to work on the first pillar, whole food as medicine. Instead of redesigning your entire diet, start with one realistic change. Ideas include replacing sugary breakfast food with eggs, oats, or a simple protein-rich meal, swapping soda or sweet tea for water, sparkling water, or unsweetened tea, adding a serving of vegetables to lunch and dinner most days. Use HealthBook Plus, or a simple notebook, to track what you eat and how you feel afterward. You're learning how food affects your personal energy, mood, and digestion. Week 3, gentle daily movement. This week, we add a second pillar, movement, as an expression. Again, keep it simple. Choose one form of foundational movement that you're willing to do daily: walking, gentle stretching, or a basic home routine. Start with as little as 10 to 15 minutes and gradually work up to 30 minutes most days. If you can, sync your activity tracker to HealthBook Plus so you can see the progress that you're making visually. The goal is not intensity, it's consistency. Week 4, intentional connection. Now we bring in the third pillar, community or connection. Attend one local event, church, ball game, club meeting, or community gathering that you've been meaning to join. Reach out to one person you trust and tell them you're working on your health. Ask if they'd like to work, cook, or check in together. If there's a Wild Root health-related group or workshop available, consider signing up. By the end of 30 days, you'll likely notice at least small shifts, slightly better sleep, steadier energy, improved mood, or less bloating. Most importantly, you'll have proof that the change is possible and a framework you can keep building on. In the next article, we'll talk about what tends to happen by the 90-day mark when people stick with these simple pillars and why that timeline matters biologically. In the next article, Hook, Line, and Sinker by Tony Hooker, goodbye for now. Turn out the lights, the party's over, they say that all good things must end. Call it a night, the party's over, and tomorrow starts the same old thing again by Willie Nelson. Deep down, I knew this day would come for quite a while. It's time for me to turn away from my keyboard and focus on my other interests. Truthfully, I found it harder and harder to find story ideas, and I've tried to walk away a few times, but the one thing that keeps me going was my friend Jamie. Through all 14 years of my writing, she's been a constant, content to stay behind the scenes for the most part, even when I try to coax her into flexing her journalistic skills. Just a few months ago, I mentioned that I might be hanging up my writing cap, and she, as she always has, convinced me to keep going. And now she's no longer part of the paper through reasons that aren't of her doing, and I'm not compelled to keep going anymore. 10 years ago, almost to the week, John Brew, the man who 4 years earlier had given me a chance to write and make a little money when I was between full-time jobs, left, and I was named editor of the Villa Grove News, a title that I tried my best to honor. I quickly discovered that it would be impossible to be a good editor while holding down another full-time job, and without Jamie's skills at putting together a paper, the news surely would have perished. I remember the rigorous disagreements about column space and layouts and so much more as we fought to put the paper out on Sunday nights. Often our disputes were resolved over a healthy dose of onion straws from Saritha's restaurant. I look back and laugh about how she would need 2 paragraphs to fill a page, and I would dutifully throw more words together to make it happen. Truth is that neither of us really knew how to build a paper, and we were passionate about and involved in our own little town, and I think we showed that in the product we put out. Looking back, those long, crazy days were the best days I had in newspaper business, and I'll always be grateful for all the work she put into making me look like a competent newspaper man. I know deep down that I wore the title of editor, but she did the heavy lifting that kept the VG News going. There is no doubt that it would have ceased to exist long before it left us without her Herculean efforts. It's a sad fact that the newspaper industry is dying, with roughly 2 papers ceasing operations each week. Since 2005, over 25% of the papers in the U.S. have been relegated to the dustbin of history. The folks at the County Chronicle have tried their hands full trying to keep the presses running, and I wish them luck. I do believe, however, that when the Villa Grove News ceased to be, a little piece of my soul of our town went with it. Stay tuned. I've got some non-newspaper ideas floating around in my oversized melon about how to get that little piece of my heart of our town back. Thank you to everyone who has read my stuff over the years. I have been truly blessed to be given a forum to share my thoughts and stories. This is Hook, Line, and Sinker saying so long for now. The next article, I'm Just Saying by Mike Carroll, Complications of a First Jury Trial. In his book, Complications, A Surgeon's Note on an Imperfect Science, Dr. Atul Gawande talked of the tricky medical procedure of inserting a feed line into a patient. It required a physician inserting a large needle blindly under the clavicle to find the subclavian vein. Complications included inserting the needle instead into the subclavian artery or puncturing a lung, both serious complications. But his main point and revelation for the public was that somebody has to be the doctor's first patient to undergo this and even difficult procedure. He recounted the total number of times and multiple painful to the patient goofs before he finally became proficient. My first jury trial as state's attorney in Douglas County in 1976 is a semi-comedic proof of this maxim, and here's the proof. The crime. Sheriff's operator, Mrs. Friendly, received a frantic call from a woman being battered by her husband, Mr. Drunk. Tuscola officer Friendly, husband of the 911 operator, responded. Entering the apartment, he tried to de-escalate the situation, but wound up being strangled from behind by Mr. Drunk. Luckily, Tuscola officer Hulk Hogan also responded to the scene to find Officer Friendly being choked from behind by Mr. Drunk. Hulk immediately placed Mr. Drunk into a chokehold, thus creating a simultaneous double chokehold involving 3 persons. True story. Eventually, Mr. Drunk passed out, chokeathon terminated. Trial preparation. Before going to trial, I met with both officers. I asked Officer Friendly if he'd been hurt, and he said, yes, my throat hurt. My hair hurts where he pulled at it, and I went to the doctor. When I talked to Officer Hulk, he stood 6'5" or so, solid block of muscle, very menacing indeed. I told him to come to trial dressed in a blue leisure suit, everything to make him seem less fearsome to the jurors. He said, okay. Trial. At the trial, I was not shocked to hear Mrs. Drunk recant, testifying that her husband was not drunk or battered her. But I was shocked when Officer Friendly testified that he wasn't hurt, saying it was no big deal. What? To discredit Mrs. Drunk, I then called Mrs. Friendly, the 911 operator, to the stand. She related Mrs. Drunk's frantic call for help, screaming, "He's beating me," and hearing Mr. Drunk bellowing in the background. Then I called Officer Hulk. Instead of a power blue leisure suit, he marched into the courtroom dressed in his police uniform, a 12-inch Kel Light hanging from one side of his belt, a 6-inch Python 357 Magnum gun hanging on the other side. Oh, and he was wearing Top Gun aviator dark glasses. All he was missing was a ski mask and a bazooka. Mr. Drunk, on the other hand, wore, you guessed it, a powder blue leisure suit. He limply weaked to the witness stand like he was physically unable to choke a parakeet. During closing arguments, I made a small goof, getting the two wives mixed up. I argued the jury shouldn't believe Mrs. Friendly, as she had a bias to lie, but on the other hand, there was every reason to believe Mrs. Drunk. The jury retires. I walked out of the courtroom when the jury retired to deliberate. I felt good until Police Chief Big Nitpicker scowled at me. "What's wrong?" I asked. He replied, "Dummy, you got the wives mixed up." Oops. Verdict, not guilty. Did anyone get the number of that truck that just ran over me? Repercussions. The lawyer for his first trial was a seasoned trial attorney and new public defender, Mark Pitbull Petty. He was good. Later we tried another case and I lost again. I was determined to whip this pretty good guy. When out of the blue, he walked into my office one day and said, "You've got to pick a case you can't lose and then try and win." "What?" I said, wounded with pride. "Why?" Petty then related that he'd been contacted by a Republican leader of the county board who had appointed Mark as public defender. He told me I was making our state's attorney look bad, and if I kept it up, they'd fire me. So pick one you can't lose and go win it. We solved the problem with a plea bargain for our next case. I presented a very strong, emotionally moving, and eloquent statement of fact, which seemed to soothe the political waters. Lessons learned. Mark and I, who had bumped heads in high school sports, went to the U of I Law School together, and both served as officers in the armed forces. We became best friends. He beat my chops early on, and now we eat chops every Friday night with our wives. Don't burn your bridges. Switching my major from pre-med was probably fortuitous for me and patients. I might have habitually punctured a lung or subclavian artery or worse. Count and collect your blessings, not your curses. For people trying something difficult for the first time, there will always be anxiety, fear of failing, and probably mistakes. It's a learning curve. It's normal. You've got to climb and fall and climb again. As author Paulo Coelho said, the secret of life is to fall 7 times and get up 8 times. So get up, dust off, and climb. The next article, Ramblin' Man by Dave Porter. Not the way to scramble an egg or a week. It's been one of those weeks. I don't know if the weird little anomalies make it a bad week or if the bad week caused the weird stuff to happen. I think it started when I dropped my egg. That's a line I've never written before. My wife had made me a hard-boiled egg just before I headed to bed. She likes to take good care of me and wants to make sure I have a little sum-sum in my tum-tum to help me sleep better. The yolk was on me when I went to take my second bite. The egg slipped through my fingers and painted a Jackson Pollock across the linoleum. I had egg on the floor and my face. That first bite was really delicious, too. How can a good egg go so bad? Who knew you could make scrambled eggs out of hard-boiled? Turned out that was just the harbinger for the rest of the week. Very long story short, I had to rebuild a newspaper, which was not in itself a big deal. I have a computer that can leap tall buildings, and I know how to use it. Then, 2 days later, the computer quit, just up and died, taking all my files with it. Now I had to rebuild another, bigger newspaper on an older, slower computer without my files or updated software. I went from the Indy 500 to the Oregon Trail. Fortunately, I'm old enough to remember how to slay a pixelated buffalo. No hill for a stepper, as they say in the sticks. So I have my new computer ordered, which costs less than owning stocks last week. I wouldn't call that a silver lining. Between the two, it's about half the cost of my first house. To be fair, that was 100 years ago. Hopefully next week will be less adventuresome and less costly, just in case I ain't eating no eggs. In the next article, In the Night Sky by David Lake, look for Orion seriously. The last quarter moon occurs tonight, meaning the moon is 3/4 of the way around our Earth in its monthly orbit. This moon phase doesn't rise until midnight, giving us darkest sky in the evening hours to do a little stargazing. Though spring is coming soon, our winter stars are still visible in the southwest. Look for the three belt stars of Orion, making horizontal line with respect to the horizon. Sirius, the brightest star in our night sky, can be found by tracing those belt stars to the left. The star's name in Greek means scorching. It's only 26 times brighter than our sun, but it is relatively close by 8.6 light years. As the Earth turns and the star's altitude decreases, watch it twinkle. That's an effect the Earth's atmosphere, which seems 40 times thicker near the horizon. In binoculars, Sirius even seems to change color. Check it out soon. By the end of April, you'll be connected with the evening twilight to see Sirius. And we have some time for briefs. Mennonite Relief Sale Kickoff Banquet. The Arthur Mennonite Relief Sale will be holding their annual kickoff banquet on Saturday, March 28th at 6 p.m. at Yoder's Kitchen in Arthur. The program is a time to support the upcoming sale to be held August 28th through 29th at the Auto Center just south of Arthur. John Schmidt will be the featured speaker entertainer this year. He's the founder and director of Common Ground Ministries based in Berlin, Ohio, and their main focus is prisons in the Ohio correctional system. He also brings a blend of country, folk, gospel music with a touch of the contemporary. Schmidt's voice is easy to listen to, and his message reaches everyone through the truth, humor, true life stories, love for people, and wide selection of songs. An offering will be taken to defray the startup expenses for the 2026 Arthur Relief Sale. Make your reservations by Monday, March 23rd by contacting Glenn Rhodes at 217-273-5026 or Stan Helmuth at 217-246-3712. Palm Sunday Performance. Area communities are invited to attend the Palm Sunday performance of Come to the Cross and Remember by Pepper Choplin, March 29th at 4 p.m. at the First Christian Church of Villa Grove. Choir members from surrounding communities will join with live orchestra to share the musical work as a wonderful way to begin Holy Week. This is a free event, though donations are welcome. Kiwanis Fish Fry. The Tuscola Kiwanis Club will hold its annual fish fry March the 13th at 40 Martyrs School, 111 East Van Allen Street in Tuscola. Dine in or take out. Serving is 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. featuring Alaskan pollock, baked beans, coleslaw, cornbread, and cookies. Proceeds benefit children in the community. Trivia Night. The Tuscola Women's Club is hosting St. Patrick's Day Trivia Party March 14th at the Tuscola Community Building. Dinner and social hour start at 5 p.m., followed by trivia at 6:30 p.m. There'll be prizes, a silent auction, and a raffle. Up to 8 people per team. Message Diane Olson at 713-553-4006. Proceeds support scholarships. Tuscola Play. The Tuscola High School Drama Club presents You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, March 12th through 15th. Tickets are on sale now. Any unsold tickets will be available at the door on show nights. Arcola Easter Eggs. Arcola hosts a community Easter egg hunt at 3 p.m. Sunday, March 29th at Kellymore Park. At 2 p.m., there'll be a sensory-friendly egg hunt for kids who benefit from a calmer, more accommodating environment in an enclosed area. Senior Potluck. Arcola seniors are invited to attend a potluck at the Arcola Center on March 20th. Lunch will begin at 11:30 a.m. Seniors may bring a dish to share. There will also be a cake to celebrate the 60th wedding anniversary of Dawn and Carrie Edwards. Blood Drives. Villa Grove High School will host a community blood drive with Impact Life from 7:30 to 11:30 a.m. Thursday, March 19th at 400 North Sycamore outside the Little Gym. Call Kelly Wedging at 217-832-2321 or visit www.bloodcenter.org using the code 70131 to donate. The Piatt County Sheriff will host a blood drive with Impact Life 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Wednesday, March 25th at 1216 Raymond Road, Monticello, inside the donor bus. To donate, contact Luke Alexander, 217-762-5761, or visit www.bloodcenter.org and use code 71452 to locate the drive. Appointments are required. You may also call Impact Life to schedule at 800-747-5401. Arthur Bazaar. The Arthur 3rd Saturday Bazaar will be back on March 21st from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Auto Center, 2058 1800 East Road, Arthur. Contact Don Versi, 309-253-6245. That is all the time we have this week. This is Chris Yerke saying goodbye and see you again next week.